Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This episode is the wrap-up of the news that came out from New York Comic Con. I know the episode is a little late. I apologize for that. I was actually hoping to release it the day after our last episode hit, which was last Wednesday, October 12th. But, you know, life has a tendency to get in the way sometimes, and actually had just started kind of reorganizing some of my comics in my comic room slash recording studio here, and it ended up being, of course, a much bigger undertaking than I previously had planned. 17,000 comics. I hadn't had them all in one place in a long time, and when I packed up everything from California to move to Arizona, I kind of sorted everything just by letter, but not completely alphabetical, so I just had all the A's together, the B's, the C's, and such. And so they're kind of just shoved here and there in this room, and I was like, man, I really need to get this stuff organized. You know, I planned on getting organized before now, but I just haven't done it yet. And so I started pulling boxes out and slowly going through and organizing everything alphabetically, and it just, man, there were books everywhere. I had no room to record. I had no room to do anything. So it kind of set me back, and I actually didn't even finish it. I got all the way up through P, and then the S's were just overwhelmingly daunting, and I was like, okay, that's it. That's good enough for now. Maybe in a couple of weeks I'll pull everything out and from, you know, Q forward and finish it up. So that's the plan right now, but I didn't want to wait any longer. Some of this news coming out of New York Comic Con won't even be news anymore if I don't get this episode out, so.
But it is a convention weekend, so maybe I can do it Monday.
It's not every weekend.
Well, it certainly seems like there are comic conventions every weekend. New York is, of course, the big show, the last big show of the year. Phoenix Fan Fest is coming up in Phoenix this weekend, the 22nd and 23rd. Probably go at least one day for that. And then Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic Convention is next weekend, Halloween weekend. That'll probably be the last big show that I attend for the year. But let me talk about some of the news that came out of New York Comic Con.
We're sitting on top of the story of the century here.
Now, I touched on this first item two weeks ago when we did our New Comics Wednesday episode, but I just want to mention again here, only 6% of New York Comic Con attendees are primarily comic book fans. And that's according to Rob Salkowitz. There's an article that was released on Bleeding Cool on October 6th. There's a link in the show notes. You can go and check it out. And basically, it just talks about what a huge economic impact comic conventions and pop culture conventions have come to be. And, you know, they started out as comic conventions, ways for comic creators and comic fans to get together and celebrate that. But obviously, they've evolved into something that much, much more. So, if they want to continue to grow, they're, of course, going to need to branch out. And, I mean, when you think about it, if you look at the numbers on even the best-selling comics, you know, 100,000 to maybe stretching it once in a while all the way up to 300,000. 300,000 comic book fans that could not support, if it was just comic book fans, that could not support the massive convention industry that's going on right now. So it's certainly interesting times when it comes to conventions and competing for both talent and the dollars of the fans. So I expect it to slow down. I expect the bubble to burst at some point. But at this point, it seems to be that everything is being sustained, but I can't imagine it's sustainable in the long term. So I guess time will tell. I certainly hope there's not a big giant crash and a backlash and a lot of these conventions folding up. I wouldn't like to see that, but I also wouldn't mind if it was dialed back just a little bit. I mean, multiple conventions, multiple major conventions on every weekend just thins out the talent overall. But if these conventions brought in new readers, I would be all for it. But I feel like because there's so much crossover, you can go to a comic convention without knowing absolutely anything about comics or picking up a comic or even going over to the comic section. And so I don't think that people attending comic conventions are necessarily translating into new readers. I wish that were so. The circulation numbers on comics would be a lot higher. So like I said, it's interesting times. There's a lot of food for thought there. It's a good article. Go check it out on Bleeding Cool. The next item that I want to mention is that Thunderbolts number 10 from Marvel is going to be celebrating the team's 10th anniversary. You're going to have Kurt Busiek and Mark Bagley, who were the creative team when Thunderbolts first started 20 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years. But those two creators are going to be joining Jim Zub and John Malin on the regular book. They're going to be bringing back Masters of Evil, who, of course, were the original Thunderbolts. It was a Masters of Evil in disguise. So there's a couple of articles, one from Newsarama, one from CBR, talking about how they plan on celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Thunderbolts. Next bit of news coming out of New York Comic Con was that Batwoman is going to be getting an ongoing series from Marguerite Bennett and Steve Epting. Of course, Marguerite Bennett handling the writing and Steve Epting handling the art. Again, there's a link in the show notes. You can go to CBR and check it out. Marguerite Bennett is going to be joining James Tynan IV on Detective Comics coming up in the future. Clearly Batwoman is a big part of that title. And then out of Detective Comics, Batwoman is going to spin into her own title. So Marguerite Bennett's a great writer, especially of female characters. I wasn't the biggest fan of the New 52 Batwoman title. I know a lot of people loved the J.H. Williams art. It was just okay. She is an interesting character. I really like the way Tynan writes her. So I guess this is a wait and see for me. Also at New York Comic Con, some Justice League versus Suicide Squad art was unveiled. Again, there's a link in the show notes. You can go and check it out from CBR. One thing interesting in the art is it shows that Captain Boomerang is still alive. And if you've been reading Suicide Squad, we saw that you wouldn't think that was necessarily the case based on what we saw. So I'm not sure how they're going to explain that one yet. Now, Jason Fabok is the artist on the series, but he's only handling, I think, the first one or two issues. And they have some other artists on there, so I'm not sure if he's already moved on to another project or if it's weekly and he just couldn't get it all done. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but Justice League Suicide Squad clearly trying to continue to capitalize on the success of the Suicide Squad movie, and the Justice League movie is coming up. I got to say, though, I'm not even with the Jason Fabok art, that does have me a tad bit more excited for the series. But I don't know. I'm not necessarily looking forward to this one. I feel like with what's going on in the current Suicide Squad, I'm not as jazzed for it as I am for a lot of the other Rebirth titles. So I guess for me, this is a kind of a wait and see. The next item, was a Walking Dead panel at New York Comic Con, of course, and there's a link in the show notes to Comic Book Resources, CBR's coverage. Kirkman talks a lot about what's going on in The Walking Dead as far as the Whisperer War. It talks about how the comic differs from the TV show. If you're a Walking Dead fan, you probably want to go and read that article. A lot of good information about what's to come for the comic and also what's to come for the TV show. There was also a Superman spotlight panel, of course, held at New York Comic Con. Again, there's actually two links, the CBR article and the Bleeding Cool article. You can read more about the creative teams, how they're handling the father-son dynamic that's going on in the Superman titles, as well as Superman, who this is, of course, the pre-Flashpoint Superman, who is now taking over for the New 52 Superman and everything that goes along with that. So, like I said, a lot of good information. You can go and check out the articles. Also, at the Batman Spotlight panel, Scott Snyder and Tom King revealed what's in store for the Bat family going forward, talked about the I Am Suicide Squad arc that just started today, October 19th, or I guess it would be yesterday as this is being released. With art by Mikhail Yanin, and of course Tom King scripting it. So Batman continues to be a hugely popular character and DC's number one character as far as sales goes. So a lot of fans, I'm sure they could get a lot out of checking out the article from CBR. Also, there's a link in the show notes for Marvel Now, Divided We Stand panel. This is basically the new status quo of Marvel going forward, spinning out of Secret Wars 2, which was actually supposed to end October 19th, Wednesday, October 19th, was then pushed back to November 30th, and has since been moved up to November 23rd, and now they're saying, oh, we're releasing it early. We bumped it up a week. Well, no, you bumped it back 6 weeks, and now you've made it only 5 weeks, so it's still late, it's just not as late. So I don't think you can still say that it's early, but that's Marvel for you these days. They rarely can finish an event before they launch all the titles that spin out of that event and end up spoiling the end of the event. I don't understand why they can't get their trains to run on time. We've seen it over and over with the last few events they've done, and it really sickens me. Marvel's gotten to the point where they're only hurting themselves. Their numbers have been cratering like crazy. Big Bang Comics out of Dublin, who always releases a lot of really good information on Mondays about their comic sales for the previous Wednesday, they basically said all the Marvel Now titles that came out last week, that would be October 12th, basically tanked. That was the word they used. They said they absolutely underperformed. Nobody bought any of them. Nobody knows anything about the characters. Nobody cares. So Marvel's really hurting, and I don't know if they just don't care because their movies are so popular and they make much more off their Marvel Cinematic side of things than they do off the publishing arm of the company. So they basically just don't care to get things out on time and just whatever. Like, I don't understand. If you're consistently late on these event books over and over and over, then don't solicit the other books or wait. Here's an idea. Wait until the whole event is written and drawn and can be released on time. And then you know for sure that your new titles that spin out of the event will ship on time because the event is going to end on time and you're not spoiling anything. But, you know, I'm not in charge of Marvel, so who cares? Whatever. Next bit of news kind of saddens me. We learned that artist John Boy Myers is leaving Teen Titans. I just spoke with John Boy at the Long Beach Comic Convention a few weeks ago. He was so excited about this book. The art on the Rebirth issue, the Rebirth one-shot, was absolutely spectacular. I mentioned it at the time, probably the first interior work of John Boy's I'd seen, the first sequential work. And he was just so excited, had so much to say about Damian. He just seemed so happy to be on the book. I don't know what happened. He just cites creative differences. I don't know if we're going to see him do more work at DC, if he's going to go on and do something else, somewhere else. I just don't know. I'm really, really sad about this. His art style suited Teen Titans so, so well. So hopefully we'll see him on something else soon. I'd like to know what happened, but maybe it's just a conflict of personality. I don't know. But it's just really sad because, as I said, he just seems so excited to be on the book. Also, at New York Comic Con, there was a DC Young Animal panel with Gerard Way. Gerard actually gave out some cassette tapes that had a new song that he recorded inspired by Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye. Those tapes were very hard to get, very limited, handed out to the people that went to the panel, which wasn't exactly well attended. So I know they were selling on eBay for something like $150. But Cave Carson and a Cybernetic Eye came out today as I record this, October 19th, and I know each store received one cassette. I'm not even sure anybody has cassette players anymore, but I'm sure if you're a big fan of Gerard Way, you're going to want to get your hands on that song. It's going to be pretty tough to come by, I imagine, at least for a while. So you can go to the show notes and check out the link at CBR to hear more about Gerard Way's Young Animal imprint at DC, which is in full swing. As I said, Cave Carson and A Cybernetic Eye number one came out today. We've had the second issue of Doom Patrol come out, as well as the first issue of Shade the Changing Girl. Next up at New York Comic Con, Marvel has announced that America Chavez is going to get her own title. There's a link to an article on CBR. She's going to star in her own series. Of course, she's Miss America, formerly a golden, well, actually, I guess it would be a Silver Age character, early Marvel, member of the Invaders. And of course, America Chavez is actually Latina. So the whole diversity thing, and she's a very popular character. She's been handled really well in the past. No details yet on who's the creative team for that title, but I'm sure all the Ms. America fans out there are going to be very happy. Also, another big panel that took place at New York Comic Con was the Wonder Woman 75th anniversary panel with Greg Rucka in attendance, as well as a lot of others, just talking about Wonder Woman's place in history, the recent somewhat controversial statements made by some of the creative team about Wonder Woman, of course, having had same-sex relationships based on the fact that they're Amazons and there's no men around. They only can have same-sex relationships, and it wouldn't be necessarily a big deal because that's just all they would know. So they addressed that. They addressed how they each came to know Wonder Woman, what the first stories they read were. So it was a really great panel. You can go and check out the link from CBR. Also, another little bit of Wonder Woman news that came out of New York Comic Con was that Wonder Woman 77 and Batman 66 are going to be teaming up. So those, of course, those respective digital first series are based on the popular TV shows, the Batman, Adam West, Burt Ward show, and the Linda Carter Wonder Woman show. Different eras, so it's going to be interesting to see how they mash up the 60s and the 70s. Again, you can go and check out the link to CBR, and it's supposed to be a digital-first miniseries. I'm sure fans of the TV shows, either or fans of both, of course, are going to really want to check it out. The next thing I want to talk about is the Scott Snyder panel from the New York Comic Con. This was an interesting one. Scott showed up late because he basically didn't know he was having a panel, and he literally ran from one side of the convention center to the other, showed up late, but, you know, stayed and was very gracious, answered a lot of questions from members of the audience, talked about the different headspace between creator-owned stuff and doing stuff for DC. So go and check out the show notes from CBR. The link to the article talks about suspense and spoilers and Frank Sinatra and a lot of good stuff. Scott's a really, really great guy. Loves to talk comics. If you're ever at a convention where he's at, I definitely recommend saying hi and getting to know him a little bit. Next up, I'll mention the Image Spectacle panel, which was held on the last day of the show. Again, there's a CBR article that talks about the panel. I mainly wanted to highlight this one because of the Motor Crush series that's coming out from Brendan Fletcher, Cameron Stewart, and Babs Tarr. They, of course, were the creative team that did the whole Batgirl and Burnside critically acclaimed run. So I'm really looking forward to this book. It comes out in December. It's in this month's previews. You can go to the article and see some preview art for it. Sounds like it's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. So go and check out the article to learn more about it. Also at New York Comic Con, there was a Spider-Man the Clone Conspiracy panel. A few weeks have gone by. We've actually seen some issues of this storyline from Dan Slott come out. So I don't know if any of the news in the CBR article will be appropriate or if it will have already been spoiled by what's been going on. But Dan Slott's been steering the life of Peter Parker, the life and times of Peter Parker and Spider-Man for quite a while. Seems to have a huge fan following and seems to really be putting his mark on the character. It'll be interesting to see, looking back on this era of Spider-Man and really the whole history of the character, where Dan Slott will fit in as far as influential writers of the character and the great classic runs and all that stuff. So there's been some stuff that's gone on in the Clone Conspiracy. I don't want to mention it here. It's pretty convoluted, and the issue just came out today. So, but if you are interested to hear what the Clone Conspiracy is all about, definitely check out the article. It'll give you kind of an overview. Also at New York Comic Con, some Richard Rider as Nova art was released. Of course, he was the first man called Nova. And Marvel's been really hinting that he's going to return. So it could be one of two things. It's that he's really going to finally return. I know a lot of people didn't care much for the Sam Alexander character who replaced him. Or it could all be Marvel just fooling us and trying to make everybody think that it's Richard Rider returning, and really it's going to be a brand new character. Probably not. I'm probably going with it's going to be Richard Rider. I don't think Marvel's smart enough to be pulling the wool over everybody's eyes. The next up, the panel I will talk about is the DC Rebirth panel. Lots of twists on classic archetypes was kind of the theme of the panel. Again, there's a link to an article at CBR, and it's just the creators basically talking about where their characters are at this point in the Rebirth universe and where they go from here. The Green Arrow book, as I said, written by Ben Percy, I've said many times, one of the best books. He gets into where the characters are now as far as Oliver Queen and Dinah Lance and why they are who they are and why they make such a great couple. So the article's got a lot of good information. Also, the Harley Quinn husband and wife writing team of Amanda Conner and Jimmy Palmiotti were there, as well as Deathstroke writer Christopher Priest and Wonder Woman writer Greg Rucka and Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps Robert Venditti, the writer of that, as well as Flash's Joshua Williamson. So what's cool is if you've been listening to our podcast for a long time, I've been singing the praises of Green Arrow. I've been singing the praises of Wonder Woman. Recently, I said Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps is easily my number three. So three of the best books that DC is putting out right now. And Flash is up there too, really. So you really had the A-team as far as the strength of the stories, focusing on character, focusing on development, focusing on telling new, fresh stories with these classic characters. So go check out the article. They talk about the immediate future of the characters and where the storylines are going to go from here, as well as a little bit of how the characters, how they see the characters and how they got to where they are right now in Rebirth. Also, we found out that Nicola Scott is leaving Wonder Woman with issue 14. And I don't really know that we found this out because I already knew it, and I didn't like specifically get it from some secret place or whatever. I think I basically just knew from following Nicola on Twitter and Liam Sharp as well, and Greg Rucka, and just the creative team. It hasn't really been a secret, and it's not like she's quitting the book or being fired off the book or whatever. It's just she has her creative own title, Black Magic, which is absolutely amazing that she wants to focus on, and there's no way with the amount of detail that she puts into her work that she can do two monthly books. This was always the plan. She was always going to leave after doing her quintessential Wonder Woman story, which was Wonder Woman Year One. So the artist that did the last issue, I believe it was issue 8, Bilquis Evely, she's going to be taking over. Her art on issue 8 was done well, but there is room for improvement, so I definitely look forward to seeing that improvement. I'm sure she's going to be getting some tips from both Nicola Scott and Liam Sharp as far as aesthetics and how they want the book to look, as well as the writer Greg Rucka. So there was a little bit of, I don't know, not controversy, but a little bit of uproar about this. So people are very upset. They're like, why are you leaving? Did you get fired? Why are you quitting? Blah, blah, blah. Like I said, this was always going to be the plan. It's not the end of the world. It's not a disaster. This is just Nicola wanted to do this one story arc and tell the current definitive origin of Wonder Woman, and she was always going to move on. So, as I said, don't panic. The book's still in great hands with Greg Rucka, Liam Sharp, and hopefully this new artist, Bilquis Evely, can fit in well also. There's also a link in the show notes for Marvel's Cup of Joe panel. This is the panel that Joe Quesada, who formerly the editor-in-chief at Marvel Comics, holds every year at New York Comic Con. He moderated it this year. I talked to quite a few creators. You can go to the article and check it out. He didn't really answer a lot of questions himself, though. I feel like this was the least Cup of Joe panel's ever been, with him just moderating and people asking questions and I don't know. There didn't seem to be as much substance on this panel as in previous years. Also announced at New York Comic Con, the DC Superhero Girls are getting a digital first series as well as a new original graphic novel. This is going to be written by Shane Fontana, the same writer who's been doing a lot of the writing for the DC Superhero Girls universe up to this point. I think this is really cool. My daughter, who is in kindergarten, that I've talked at length about, is a huge DC Superhero Girls fan. She has all the action figure / dolls. She has me show her the videos. She has the app on her little digital device, the DC Superhero Girls app. Like I said, she's in kindergarten, so she's starting to read. So if this digital first series is something I can get her hooked on and help her to learn to read, that will be amazing. So I just love the whole DC Superhero Girls. I love the line. I love the thought of it. I love the idea. It's definitely sucked my 5-year-old in. So really, really cool. Also, Dan Didio and Jim Lee had their annual Meet the Publishers panel at New York Comic Con. They announced the release date for Super Sons, or the general date, and the new creative team, as well as a whole lot more. So you can go and check out the article. Like I said, they talk about Super Sons. They give a rundown on where DC is as far as Rebirth, the success of it, what the sales numbers have looked like, and why they decided to hold off on some of the other titles like Justice League and Super Sons. I don't know if I mentioned it, but yeah, Justice League America. I don't have the link here. I think it might have been announced a few days before New York Comic Con. That's going to be written by Steve Orlando. I'm not sure. Maybe the art was Yvonne Reese, Joe Prado. I think that sounds right. Obviously, I think it's going to be a bi-weekly series, so they're probably going to need more than just that art team, but definitely looking forward to that. No, I think, yeah, it was announced. I did mention it on here because Manny and I talked about it. We talked about the four members that have been announced so far, which were the Ray, the Ryan Choi Adam, the Vixen, and Killer Frost. And I imagine there'll be more information to come when that gets a little closer. The next bit of news that was announced right around New York Comic Con was Warren Ellis is relaunching Wildstorm. So the link to the article talks about Wildstorm, or the link to the article will take you to CBR. The article itself talks about Warren Ellis has basically a two-year plan and a two-year contract to do this, to relaunch this universe, and more ideas for the third year if he decides to continue. And it's going to be separate from the DC Rebirth universe. And, you know, Warren Ellis kind of put his stamp on this Wildstorm universe with The Authority. And seeing him return to it is going to make a lot of fans happy. Hopefully they plan it out well. Hopefully they don't launch too soon and then we get delays. I mean, that's a problem with Warren Ellis books. They're often late. I don't know if he just doesn't have the hunger to write, because it didn't seem like that used to be the case back in the day, but it certainly has become the case now. So I don't know if he's stretching himself too thin or what exactly is going on, but it's not just going to be him doing the writing, but he is kind of the showrunner of the whole thing. So hopefully DC can continue to get their books shipped on time, and I look forward to seeing what Warren Ellis' take on the Wildstorm universe is going to be in present day. Also, I want to mention that you're at Comic-Con, the Aftershock panel. A lot of good information there. Medieval zombies, bears, and dolphins teaming up. The panel wasn't particularly well attended, probably because it was, I think, Friday night at 8 p.m., so not exactly prime time. But honestly, Aftershock, as a publisher, are doing so many things right. They're putting out some of the best comics that are on the stands today. Really compelling stories, very rich, deep, detailed worlds. You can pick up any of the titles, all the titles, two, three, whatever you want. They're all self-contained. It's not like picking up, trying to get on board with Marvel and DC and such a barrier entry. Aftershock's only been around for a little while, so if you did want to read everything, it's relatively easy at this point to go back and pick up everything. But check out the panel. There's some good information there from the article at Bleeding Cool. And yeah, Aftershock, love what they're doing. One of my favorite publishers going these days. And the last bit of comic news is there is a link to an interview on Blaster.com with the Benson sisters talking about Batgirl, the Birds of Prey, the Oracle Mystery, what the Birds of Prey mean to them. So that's Julie Benson, that's Shauna Benson, the two sisters who are writing Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. So they're very excited. They're fresh blood to the comic industry. They're having written for TV shows in the past. They're doing an excellent job with the book. This was their first New York Comic Con, and, you know, attending as creatives, I'm sure they had a blast. I was listening to Julie as a guest on the CGS podcast the other day, and she was talking about how much fun she had, but how exhausting it was. So I really hope you're checking out that book. It's a really great book, and the interview gives a lot of great information. So next up, I'll talk a little bit of movie news from New York Comic Con. Only a couple things really stood out to me. Honestly, I feel like this New York Comic Con was probably the lightest on news, both comic and multimedia, movie and TV, than any previous major convention I can remember in a long time. So just a couple things stood out to me. Donald Pierce is the villain in Wolverine 3. Again, there's a link to an article on CBR. You can go check it out. If you don't remember who Donald Pierce is, basically a member of the Hellfire Club. Not exactly a very well-known name outside of the X-Men corner of the DC universe. Certainly could make a good Wolverine villain based on his powers. I mean, the guy's kind of like a cyborg. He could give Wolverine a run for his money. I guess it all just depends on the acting and script and directing, really. So it's just kind of generic. I mean, they could have picked any number of people, but it's certainly not like, okay, let's pick a really well-known person. I feel like Donald Pierce is definitely not a well-known. Like, everybody kind of, even if you're not a comic fan, everybody's kind of heard of Doctor Doom. At this point, a lot of people have heard of Magneto. I wouldn't want to see Magneto again in a next movie, just because I feel like he's been done to death. But I was just using that example, like the Red Skull or Dr. Octopus or the Vulture or Kraven the Hunter, Green Goblin. You know, these are classic Marvel villains that kind of everybody knows, and Donald Pierce certainly isn't in that category. Also, there was a Power Rangers panel. I just mentioned that because I know what a huge influence Power Rangers had on a whole generation of kids, and they confirmed some, I don't know, Goldar character or whatever. I know next to nothing about Power Rangers. I was much too old when it was at the height of its popularity and came over to the to United States. Never cared for it, never seen an episode, but I know a lot of people do, so that's why I linked the article. You can go and check it out. You probably know more about Goldar than I do. So, supposed to be a really good movie, not supposed to be cheesy like the TV show. That being said, I'm still probably not going to watch it, but just so you know, Goldar, if you're a fan of the Power Rangers, I'm sure you know who he is, and that's basically going to be the villain of the movie, I suppose. All right, next up we have a few bits of TV news here. Valiant revealed details for their Ninjak web series, as well as a trailer. So if you want to check that out, again, there's a link in the show notes. You can go to CBR, you can go to comicbook.com, take a look at Jason David Frank as Bloodshot, who's going to be, it's Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe is the name of the series. So I'm really looking forward to it. With the quality of books that Valiant puts out, they put that same effort into making a quality web series. It's going to be absolutely outstanding. So go and check out the trailer. All right, next up, there was tons of Marvel Netflix info at New York Comic Con. We saw all the Defenders take the stage together. We learned that Sigourney Weaver is going to be one of the villains. So, again, there's a link in the show notes so you can go and read all about it. This one's from HitFX.com. Also, another TV show that I've heard a lot of people talking about had a panel at New York Comic Con, and that's Westworld. Again, there's a link in the show notes, this time to EW.com, Entertainment Weekly, just talking about the show, what they have planned coming up, how it all came together. Like I said, it's a show that's I'm hearing a lot of buzz about. Wouldn't say it's blown up yet, but it's on the verge. So if you want to know what everybody's talking about, this is a great place to start. Go check out the link in the show notes. Also, there was a Stranger Things panel at New York Comic Con. Stranger Things, of course, a Netflix series that debuted this last summer to huge numbers, a lot of 80s nostalgia. There's a link to an article on Blaster.com talking about the panel, the final word for Barb, and what to expect in Season 2. Also, one of my favorite creative comic pop culture people, Alan Tudyk, did an interview with Blaster about Rogue One and Con Man Season 2. You can go and watch the interview he gave. Rogue One, he can't say a lot, you know. A lot of that stuff is super secretive. We know the way LucasArts used to be, and they sold it to Disney, and it's no different, keeping everything under wraps, not wanting to leak anything or have, you know. I mean, he's just extremely limited on what he can say, basically, or he can get in a lot of trouble, get sued for probably more money than he owns, so he doesn't get a lot into that, but he does talk quite a bit about Con Man Season 2. Con Man, of course, the crowdfunded web series he did with his partner Nathan Fillion and showrunner PJ Arzma. Of course, you know, anyone who listens to the podcast knows that I'm a huge Con Man fan. Con Man the game is the only game I have on my phone. My wife plays it incessantly. It's a whole heck of a lot of fun. Go check out the Con Man the game at the App Store or at Google Play. Check out Con Man Season 1. Con Man Season 2 is going to be coming out soon. It's a whole heck of a lot of fun. It really pokes fun at the whole convention scene and nerds in general in a loving way. I'll put it that way. Also, one of my favorite science fiction shows that I discovered recently, The Expanse, had a panel at New York Comic Con. Again, there's an article on Blaster talking about more conflict in Season 2, Mars Rising. The cast members that were there talk about the arcs of their characters, how their characters continue to grow. I mean, The Expanse really surprised me with just how deep and rich the characters were. I've just totally fallen in love with the show. So if you're a fan and you're anxiously awaiting Season 2, as all the fans of The Expanse are, here's a little bit of something to hold you over. Think about The Expanse, just such a huge gap between Season 1 and Season 2, because they just didn't know how successful, had no idea how successful Season 1 was going to be. And so it took a little while to get everything in place to have a Season 2. And it's going to be debuting January 2017, I believe. Another show I discovered recently has a big following in the comics community is Wyatt Earp. Wynonna Earp. Also a Sci-Fi Channel show. So again, article at Blaster. Stars talking about love triangles, what they want to see next for the show. That's a show that's, again, much like The Expanse, started out a little slow. First episode was really slow. But by the second episode, it feels like almost a different show. Like, I feel like the acting improved and the storyline, and it's easier to understand, and they just kind of got their flow and got their rhythm. And, the rest of the season was really, really terrific. So it's got a lot of really great actors, really cool, fun, supernatural story. So if you're a fan, go and check out the article. If you're not a fan, go and check out the article so that you can become a fan. Go and check out Wynonna Earp Season 1. I think you can go to the Sci-Fi website and watch the episodes on there, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, so that's going to wrap it up. As I said, not a whole heck of a lot of news. Certainly no groundbreaking news, no giant announcements coming out of New York Comic Con. Some of the things that really kind of stood out for people were all the Netflix news, and then also Valiant kind of stole the show with their web series announcement of Ninjak, and they did a signing with the cast at their booth, and the lines were huge for that. So I feel like they really had a great, very much a successful New York Comic Con, and they're really coming up in the world of comics and comic media and comic entertainment. So if you haven't read any of their books, I definitely recommend checking out some Valiant stuff. It's really, really high quality stuff. So once again, I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. Of course, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, for all past episodes of the podcast. You can also find links to Manny's written blog and my written blog there, as well as episodes of our YouTube channel and our infamous sketch gallery, where we have scans of a lot of the sketches that Manny and I have picked up at conventions over the years. Also, a great way to keep up with The Comic Source is to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. That's twitter.com/thecomicsource, or do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook. You can also search for us on Instagram. All those social media sites, social media accounts, are great ways to follow us, to make sure you're keeping up to date with when we come out with new episodes, when we're reviewing books for you, what conventions we're going to be at, creator interviews, all that kind of great stuff. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.